Well, now a pivot from the news to, what do they call it, news you might be able to use. Are you planning on booking a room in a hotel over the holidays? Well, Jacob Tomsky has spent years working in them, from parking valet to front desk clerk.
I've checked you in, checked you out, oriented you to the property, served you a beverage, separated your white panties from the white bedsheets, parked your car, tasted your room service before and sadly after, cleaned your toilet, denied you a late checkout, given you a wake-up call, eaten M&Ms out of your minibar, laughed at your jokes, and taken your money.
Now Jacob has written a tell-all. You don't treat the front desk clerk well, well, you might get room 1212-1212 in New York. That's also the area code, so the phone rings off the hook at 3 a.m. with other guests who forget to dial 9. Don't tip the bellman well, you might not want to use your toothbrush. Jacob Tomsky's book is called Heads in Beds, a Reckless Memoir of Hotels, Hustles, and So-Called Hospitality. He joins us from the NPR studios in New York. Jacob, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
And could you just start with the tipping? I always thought it would be insulting to slip a folded up 20 or a 50 to a front desk clerk. You say no?
I don't think it's ever going to insult anyone to give them money. I think we could test that across the world. Everyone likes a little bit of a gratuity there. And I think front desk is not a tipped position, but your money goes quite a bit farther there. People don't realize the front desk has the entire charge of your stay. We pick your room. We can make or break your life at the hotel.
Right, but wait a minute. Aren't the rooms all the same? That's what they always tell us.
That's one of the biggest lies that I used to spew out, that no, there's always variations on rooms. There's always a room with two sinks or a big closet or with a beautiful view that's not necessarily included in the price of the room. The variations are there, and the front desk agent and the bellman are going to know which rooms are the best rooms.
As you're right, there's always a better room, and when I feel that 20 burning in my pocket, I will find it for you.
Absolutely.
And then if there's nothing to be done room-wise, you have other options.
Absolutely. Countless times I would take care of guests. I know they liked a bottle of red wine, and I would take care of that for them if they took care of me. Also, late checkouts. If you got a late flight, that's very important. If you need to extend your reservation, perhaps, on a sold-out night, your flight was canceled, there's 1,000 things that I can do as a front desk agent to make your stay wonderful.
Well, not only that, there's a whole choreography, a ballet, that now I'm going to look closer for. Between the front desk clerk and the bellman and the other people, there's this elaborate kind of passion play you put on in order to increase the tips.
It's an interconnected hive of employees that it takes to run this hotel. Everyone has a specific position, and understanding that position can help you. And yeah, oftentimes we work together. If I know someone's generous, the bellman's going to know someone's generous.
And not only that, if you know that a guest is generous, you're going to make sure that guest knows about the bellman. So, for instance, you might tell the guest that, you know who helped me get this room for you? Ben here, the bellman. Or you can tell him some of the other stories that will be told to sort of encourage people to do the right thing.
What's going to happen when you create a personal experience, even if it's through just being kind or if it's through gratuities, you're now on a higher plane than every other guest in that hotel. And they'll remember you when you come back, even tonight. You know, you've had dinner somewhere. They're going to ask, they're going to use your name, and they're going to ask how dinner was. If you were a rude guest or a cheap guest, they're not going to care.
Well, but wait, what else are they going to do? I mean, we're a family program during mealtimes in several time zones. And so I don't want to be too pointed here, but really, will an offended, somebody who's lugged 14 suitcases and not gotten one penny in a tip, might they really tamper with your toothbrush?
Absolutely. If you can imagine something happening in a hotel, it has happened in a hotel, without a doubt. And if you piss off the wrong person, there's 1,000 ways we can come back at you. A lot of times at the front desk, I felt like I was a master of instant karma. You know, if you were rude to my coworkers or, you know, rude to the cab driver or just rude in general, I can make your keys stop working. I can check you out early. I can over-authorize your credit card. I can add additional charges. The ways in which we can get back at you are severe, and there's plenty of them. And the bellman, yeah, that we all have access to your room. We've got master keys. So any room, anywhere, anytime, that bellman can get back in your room and get back at your toothbrush.
Okay, well, let's continue along this vein. I think all the children have been cleared out at this point. If you have sex toys in your room, just about everyone in the hotel and the staff knows it.
Yes, a longstanding guest. He was very quiet, business guest, 4 nights out of the week, every week. One time we thought he had checked out because there was a simple, just one staple clothes shopping bag in his room. But when they went to throw it out, inside was some sex toys. you would think that that it would end there and the housekeeper wouldn't say anything, but the housekeeper said something to laundry, and then laundry says something to the front desk, and then front desk says something to the bellman, and then lo and behold, we've got the guest approaching the desk again, and now we're all quite aware of what he's been using this room for the last 4 years.
and he demands the bag back.
Yeah, he's where is my stuff? And, you know.
At the point, it seems like the lesson there is just leave.
At that point, he should have let that one go. Yeah. You threw it away? Oh, that's fine. No problem. That probably would have been a smarter tactic for him.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your story, how this all happened for you. A child of a military family, Navy mom, Marine dad. So you moved around a lot. And so the hotel industry felt right for you.
Yeah, it was just like sort of the methadone clinic for the travel addicted. I move around so much that I feel like I felt at home standing in a lobby where, you know, guests are constantly coming, going. It's a very exciting job. It's always new guests. I moved apartments. You know, I started in valet, so I started parking cars, and then all of a sudden I'm checking people in, and then all of a sudden I'm a housekeeping manager, and I'm cleaning toilets, and just it just kept me constantly interested. And that was a wonderful portion, you know, of my life.
Let's refer back to the started as a valet. This is how your book opens. This was in New Orleans. Anyone reading that chapter will never, ever, ever again turn their car over to a valet.
Well, you're going to have to because they're there for a reason. It's not always an optional service, especially, you know, because it's got to get up into the garage. And sometimes the valets don't even work for the hotel. They work for an outside company. And there's a lot of job turnover. And if you are looking for service, you're not going to get it from a valet. They have very little guest interaction. They do have a lot of car interaction, though. And that's the thing. They're going to pull off at 5 miles an hour. And then once they get up into that garage, they're going to start hammering it. And then they're parking. Then they're sitting there with your car and looking at all your items and all the things you never thought to worry about. And you know, I had
change.
Employees stealing change. Yeah, absolutely. Which is pretty low down. But, you know, coming down with a pocket full of quarters is, you know, makes some people's day, I suppose.
But you say that here's another tip. It's sort of like a car rental. Really look at your car and maybe even take a picture of your car before it goes into valet parking.
Yeah, do a nice walk around, a nice visual walk around. First of all, it's going to give you the certainty that you need later so that if you know that that scratch wasn't there. And also, when I was a valet, when I saw a guest take a quick walk around, I knew when I was pulling off that I needed to be extra careful because this guest was on top of it.
Jacob Tomsky, his book on hotels is Heads in Beds. More tips. The drinking glasses in your room may be sparkly because they're clean with furniture polish. Also, bellmen universally hate the man who invented rolling bags. Let them take yours. It's not their fault. They have wheels. And housekeeping is hard, making sure there isn't a porno mag under the bed skirt. He didn't even know what a porno mag or bed skirt was till he became a manager. More on that aspect of working in hotels with Jacob Tomsky in 1 minute, here and now. Welcome back. We're speaking with Jacob Tomsky, who tells all about hotels in his new book, Heads in Beds. He describes how as front desk clerk, he could score a guest a room upgrade or free wine. He also got fired for complaining when a housekeeper had a gift bottle of wine taken away. So, Jacob, you went from parking valet to housekeeping manager and scrubbing a toilet on Christmas morning. You came to respect these largely immigrant women.
Housekeeping is the most physically demanding job in the hotel. Many a night, sold-out situations, I would be cleaning rooms, and it's just so tiring. And it's a thankless job because if it's done correctly, you never see them. And, you know, a bellman, if he does a great job, you know, he's there smiling at you, and you can smile at them. But a good housekeeper is actually invisible in a way, which is sad because it's such a difficult job. And, you know, and then people accuse them of stealing things, and that always makes me so angry, you know.
Yeah, well, you went from there. I'm collapsing your story a bit, but you eventually end up at the front desk of a New York hotel. This is a whole different world. It feels as if, you know, we're used to looking at the front desk when we walk into a hotel. Pretty much they're all the same, you know, young people in uniforms with name tags behind a desk. Mm-hmm. Reading this book, I'm realizing what you see. It's as if you're an audience and there's a constant play unfolding in front of you.
Everything happens at a hotel. People get married, they get pregnant, they get divorced, you know, they die in hotel rooms. So it's just the entire sphere of life. It's an incredible job.
What were some of the things that people ask of a front desk clerk?
anything. Well, you know, I mean, obviously there's the, you know, ask to get drugs and other things like that. But, you know, the one of the rules is nothing illegal or immoral. But, you know, I've had wonderful stories. There was this one story where this man was going to propose to his girlfriend. What he was going to do is have a photographer follow them secretly. And when he dropped his knee in the dirt in Central Park, the photographer was going to be in the bushes taking these secret shots, which he was going to reveal to her on the wedding day. And my part in that plan was to make sure when he came through the lobby with his girlfriend that the photographer was aware. And it happened. And when she came back, she was smiling. She had the ring on her finger. He was beaming. And I sent them wine. And mm-hmm. it was just a wonderful situation to be involved in and to assist such a young couple. And it's beautiful.
But then there's the more mundane. What are the gym hours? Do you have Golf Channel? How do you... Where are the ice machines? How do you unlock the safe? How do you get rid of the blinking light on the phone? The way you describe it, it's this unrelenting barrage.
Either there's a fire alarm going off and everyone's going nuts, or you're standing around answering the same questions. It can flip in a second.
Speaking of flipping, your hotel flipped. It gets bought by an investment firm, I believe, and mm-hmm. flipped to become one of those high-end, hip hotels with new owners that really crack down on a lot of the, let's face it, sort of the scams that you and the staff have really brought to high art, this idea of working together to increase tips. And now the new owners are really cracking down. They're watching you all the time. They've got cameras. You know, and this upsets you quite a bit. And I find myself thinking, yeah, well, you just explained how you were scamming, you know, how you would give rooms for free or give upgrades to someone who gave you a tip. The company's essentially losing money on that.
Sometimes, even if you give the front desk agent a gratuity and he gives you a complimentary upgrade, which could be $100 that would go into the hotel's pocket, but he got it for $20, putting it in the front desk pocket. In certain ways, that's creating customer loyalty, and that guest may come back. And when they come back, they start booking room night after room night. And so sometimes, even though it seemed as if we were working on the side and cheating the hotel, we were still creating customer loyalty and developing our base and increasing revenue.
Well, hotels can't be at all happy, though, about what you've written. Let's just go over again some of the tips, shall we? How can you get out of your mini bar charge?
It is a fact that mini bar charges are the most disputed charge on any bill. Hence, I'm removing $500 in mini bar charges a day. Therefore, if out of any one of those guests, there's someone who ravaged the mini bar and then comes down and says, you know, I never had any of these items. It's such a fallible system that we're going to remove that charge.
Somebody could have forgotten to stock it. Other people could have gone in and taken stuff out. It's not worth it to the hotel to fight it.
No. And certainly, and then you bring that to the movie system, the in-room movie system. They actually pay a subscription fee there. So there's not even a loss in product. They've paid that anyway. So, and the movie's cut off in the middle. You know, they freeze, you misorder it. So these things actually happen too. So when if you actually watch a movie and then say that it cut off in the middle, they're going to take that off as well. And there's not even a loss in revenue there for the hotel.
Okay. How to avoid the same-day cancellation penalty. You say when you call, when you realize you're not coming in, oh my God, you're going to lose in New York a $400 to $500 because you are beyond the 24-hour cancellation. So you call the front desk and make sure you're not talking to management, and you ask what?
Say, you know what, I don't want to cancel my reservation. I just want to move it to next Friday because they've rescheduled the meeting. Is this possible? And many times the front desk agent is going to say, absolutely, because we don't feel as if we're canceling. We're just adjusting it. So move it into the future, hang up the phone, drink a soda, call back, speak to a different front desk agent. And just say, you know what, I have a reservation for next week. That meeting's been canceled, and I need to cancel my reservation, and you're well within your rights now, it being far into the future.
No wonder this new management that you talked about that took over this new hotel hounded you and tried to get you fired.
Oh, but they were such bad people. It was such a, you know, such a hard work environment. And, you know, we love the hotel, and you want to have pride in your property. And it's what you should foster in employees. And I've seen that done well in the hotel business before. I've seen that created a love for the property. I've felt that before, and that was like ripped from our hands.
You say, yeah, there was a time when you knew what that felt like, that love. Can you just explain what that is? When a hotel's humming and everybody's in on the same goal, you obviously love that.
Yeah, it's a beautiful situation to love your property, to want it to succeed. Then you look at the guest and that they're your responsibility and you're taking care of them because they're your family now. When you've got a property operating like that, it's beautiful. And everyone who walks in that hotel is going to feel that because when that employee smiles at you, you know that that employee loves this hotel and they're glad that you're there.
Jacob Tomsky's tell-all memoir about the hotel industry, it's sort of like the Kitchen Confidential of the hotel biz, is called Heads in Beds. Heads in Beds, by the way, that's the what hotels try to do, get as many heads in the beds as they can, fill it up.
That's the bottom line in the hotel business, getting heads in beds. That's what's most important.
Jacob, terrific read. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're already hearing from hotel workers who say Jacob does not represent them. But as he said, when guests and management are not cruel, things are fine. So we'd love to hear from more of you, hotel workers and guests. Go to hereandnow.org. Latest news is next. Here and Now.